This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankowski. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk to a poet and professor at Fairfield University who's compiling the largest database of women poets in the world. But first, President Barack Obama postponed a trip to the Pacific this week to stick around Washington as healthcare legislation comes close to approval. Vote counting has become a political game as House Democratic leaders count toward the magic number, 216, to pass the $940 billion healthcare package. Congressman John Larson, the fourth-ranking Democrat and caucus chairman, said that the American people aren't interested in the ins and outs of the congressional process of passing health care.
They're concerned about the process which finds their policies being rescinded. They're concerned about the process that finds their policies canceled because of pre-existing conditions.
Joining us now to talk about the pending legislation is WNPR's Washington desk reporter Manuel Quinones from Capital News Connection. He usually joins us on Monday mornings on Morning Edition to give us a look ahead at the week. But obviously, we got a big weekend coming up, Manuel, so thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
As of right now, does it look like Congressman Larson has counted up the right number of votes for Sunday for the Democrats?
It depends on where you look. Some people will tell you that they have the votes. Other people will tell you that they still need a few more to get. What we're seeing is a lot of those undecided Democrats, and even Democrats who voted no the last time around, saying, okay, I'll support it. You know, Betsy Marquette of Colorado is one who yesterday said she was supported. But, of course, we're seeing some starting to announce that they will definitely not support it. But the conventional wisdom is that they will have enough votes by the weekend, and the legislation will pass sometime Sunday. And, of course, John Larson is one of the big pushers in up here in Congress to try to get the votes. You know, we call it whipping. And some people say that if you lower your voice, you can hear the whipping in the background, of course, figuratively. But there's a lot of convincing going on.
Well, and I want to get a little bit more to Larson's role and a bit more about what role the Connecticut delegation has played in all this. But first of all, for maybe some of our listeners who don't have just a Washington ticker going at all times on their Google feed or something, you can tell us what exactly they'll be voting on Sunday, because there's a couple different things.
Right. And it's complicated, but it's one can explain it, you know, fairly simply. Basically, what they will be voting on, what they will have to vote on, is the Senate version of the legislation. That will have to pass in some form, the Senate version of the legislation. And then they're also voting on a so-called reconciliation bill. And what the reconciliation bill is, a package of amendments or fixes to that Senate bill. And basically, this all happened after Scott Brown got elected. They couldn't go through the normal channels. So the House is passing the Senate version, and then they're voting on these fixes. And then the Senate will ratify those fixes through the process of reconciliation, which does not require 60 votes. They can do it with 50-plus votes. And reconciliation is basically done with budget matters. So these fixes are germane to issues of finance. But, of course, it will affect the healthcare industry. But they're being done in a way that comply with the rules of having it be budget germane, quote-unquote. What we don't know yet is if Democrats in the House will be voting on that Senate version separately, or they will, you know, for all effects, attach it to another vote, basically have one vote and then pass the Senate version and something else at the same time, which would be, you know, that package of fixes. And the package of fixes basically is tweaks around some tax issues, delays, for example, the tax on the so-called Cadillac plans, remove some of these special deals that have been criticized so much, the special deal for Nebraska, that's removed in the package of fixes. So that's essentially what they're going to be voting on. A lot of confusion about that, but that's the bottom line of it.
Well, when we talk about the special deals, though, one of the things that we know right now has not been stripped out is $100 million to build a public hospital, Yukon Hospital, here in Connecticut, something that was sought in the original Senate bill by Senator Christopher Dodd, something that while he was still running, he was trying to bring to the state. What do we know about that?
Well, there's definitely some deals that have not been stripped out, others that have. For example, another one is the deal for Louisiana, something having to do with Hurricane Katrina down there. That, as far as we know, has not been removed or is not being removed in the reconciliation bill. Something that is definitely being removed is the Nebraska deal, and that's the providing special help for Nebraska having to do with Medicaid funding, helping that state deal with the expansion of Medicaid. Now according to what we're hearing from the speaker, all the states are going to get some help with the expansion of Medicaid. Other than that, we're not getting a lot of details. Yesterday, we asked the speaker details about that. We know what are the deals. And of course, they'd rather not talk about the special deals. They'd rather talk about, you know, the expansion of Medicare or the closing of the Medicare Part D loophole, for example. That's what they want us to focus on.
Manuel Quinones is the reporter with the Capital News Connection in Washington, D.C. He covers Washington for the Washington desk for WNPR, is talking with us for a few minutes today in the program about the health care bill upcoming in Congress this weekend. Quickly, let's go to the phones. Chris is on a cell phone. Hi, Chris. You're with Manuel on Where We Live.
Thank you for taking my call. This whole debate has been going on between what I call two of the biggest criminal organizations, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. This is not reform. It doesn't handle 50% of the problem. They're bribing each other left and right. What really annoys the American people like me and the majority of us who have not been to college is that it makes no economic sense. We're on the Titanic. The Democrats have added Medicare as part of the solution to get in, and it's about to go bankrupt in the next few years. I'm 56 years old. The projections say I might get a year out of it when I retire at 67.
I apologize, Chris. I just want to quickly get to Manuel. You know, when we hear callers like Chris, people are still wondering across the country what all's in the bill and if we're going to be able to pay for it. Now, we just heard from Congressman Larson yesterday. He put out a statement, and many other Democrats have said that this is not only going to pay for itself, it's one of the largest deficit-reducing measures members of Congress will ever vote on. He says it will create a $118 billion reduction in the federal deficit over the next 10 years and cut the deficit by $1.3 trillion over the next 20 years. I'm going to guess that Republicans in Washington don't think that number's right.
There's a lot of discussion about the accuracy of the Congressional Budget Office numbers, which everyone waits for. The Congressional Budget Office is saying that these numbers are preliminary, contingent on certain things, but they're saying that these are the projected outcomes. You know, the bill is going to cost about $940 billion over 10 years, but, you know, as you mentioned, over 20 years, we're expecting to see a deficit reduction, according to the Congressional Budget Office, in more than $1 trillion. That is significant. But, of course, then you have the Republican arguments saying, well, there are some tax issues here. So just because there's more money coming in doesn't mean that it's money we should have coming in. You know, so there's definitely some tax increase built in. Then there, as the caller mentioned, there are some cuts to Medicare. But then if you talk to the Democrats, they will tell you, swear you up and down, that will not affect Medicare services. They say that they will actually help extend the life of Medicare. And that's something that not only Congressman Larson, he was on fire yesterday with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, but also Congresswoman DeLauro. Congresswoman DeLauro has also been very, very vocal. She was in another press conference with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier this week, and she was really stressing Medicare, trying to turn the table, saying it is not the Democrats who are cutting Medicare, it's the Republicans who are not voting for the good things we're doing to Medicare in this health care legislation. So there's these numbers that we got from the Congressional Budget Office. They're supposed to be very impartial, but that doesn't mean that the discussion is ending as to if this is good or this is bad. Though, on a last note, a lot of Democrats, those conservative, fiscally conservative Democrats, because of these budget numbers, are starting to sway to yes. Not all of them, but some were starting to see, well, we were waiting for the cost analysis. We have the cost analysis. We're feeling better about this. So there are at least some people who are getting convinced towards a yes.
When you talk about people like Rosa DeLauro or John Larson, who are part of a leadership circle that Nancy Pelosi has, they're also in safe Democratic seats here in Connecticut. I'm quite sure that there are a number of other Democrats who you talk to about this bill who, whether or not they believe the numbers work out, they certainly are worried about the politics of it because of the call that we heard from Chris. How many Democratic lawmakers, conservative Democrats or otherwise, are worried in your mind about the fallout for them this November when it comes to this vote?
Oh, many of them. Let me tell you something. As a reporter, we try to, and all the reporters here on Capitol Hill, try to talk to these Democrats who are on the fence from conservative districts. They're a focus of attention, and a lot of them are literally running. We have chased some of them to their offices because they do not want to talk about it. Because one, they're being asked so much that they're tired, they just don't feel like doing it. Another is that they feel that anything they say could be hurtful to their campaigns, so they just don't want to say anything at all. They're getting bombarded with calls, very angry people. There's a lot of Tea Party protesters and other anti-healthcare reform and pro-healthcare reform protesters are up here on Capitol Hill storming their offices or trying to storm their offices. There's an example, for example, Frank Cradaville of Maryland. He represents a district that he helped come in to office in the big Obama sweep of the last November election, but now there's a lot of skepticism. That district in Maryland has been traditionally Republican. So that's one of the members who's already saying, yeah, I don't think I'm going to vote for this. And even though he says that he has concerns about the legislation, one can't help but think that Democrats like him are so worried about reelection prospects back home. Another one was Betsy Marquette of Colorado, who I mentioned. She's deciding to vote yes, but that's another member who had a really hard time making up her mind because she's in a very, very tight reelection coming up. And, of course, you have folks like, you know, Congressman Larson and Congresswoman DeLauro harping on these Democrats, saying you have to vote for this. This is part of the agenda. This is good. This is important. But from what you're hearing back home, that message of this being good is not necessarily translating into people supporting it.
One last thing for you, Manuel, before I let you go. Senator Dodd is back in Hartford today, and he's going to be talking with consumer advocates and with the press about his financial regulation bill, which was announced earlier this week. Given all the focus on health care this week, what's the response been in Washington to Dodd's bill on financial services regulation?
And health care is the key with it. The oxygen has been, sucked out of the city because of health care. So the Dodd reform bill, which he introduced, got a lot of press, and then seems the press attention moved over to the health care debate again. But what Senator Dodd is getting is a lot of criticism from all sides. You get folks who criticize the Federal Reserve for its role in the economic meltdown, saying, how are we giving the Federal Reserve more power and responsibility with the fact that we know that they failed at the job, or quote-unquote may have failed at the job in the past? Then you have consumer advocates saying, hey, we'd like to see a little bit more consumer protection here. We'd like this consumer regulatory agency to have more power and more purview. And then you have the Chamber of Commerce saying this consumer regulatory office has too much power and purview and will actually hurt the people and businesses' ability to get credit. So he's getting it on all sides. And Senator Bob Corker, who he was negotiating with, starting to say that it's a shame that it seems that we're going to a party line vote in committee, because within the next couple of days we're expecting to get a committee markup on this issue, which is where the committee starts amending and picking apart the bill. And there's no indication that there's a bipartisan compromise yet, which is what Senator Dodd wanted, and some Republicans say they wanted, and there's no indication of that at this point.
Manuel Quinones covers Washington for WNPR's Washington Desk, and from Capital News Connection, he also joins us Monday mornings on Morning Edition to talk about what's happening in Washington. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, Manuel. I appreciate it. And get on those track shoes. Track down those Democrats this weekend, all right?
We'll be back at it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Coming up next on the program, we'll talk to a poet and professor at Fairfield University who's compiling the largest database of women poets in the world. If you're a poet, you're inspired by female poets, we'd like to hear from you. 860-275-7266. Email where we live at WNPR.org.